This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Feeling the ripples of the rising Mississippi far from the banks of the river.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The water is slowly receding in Memphis after a crest of almost 48 feet yesterday, just shy of a record. Now the focus shifts down the Mississippi River, where the federal government is opening spillways to reduce the threat to places like Baton Rouge and New Orleans. Meanwhile, gasoline futures have been rising this week, right along with the floodwaters. From Marketplace's sustainability desk, Sarah Gardner explains the connection.
The flooding has already wreaked havoc in Tennessee, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Louisiana is next, and that could mean trouble for U.S. oil refineries. Industry consultant Andy Lippow.
Between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, there are 11 refineries.
And they handle 13% of U.S. fuel production. Fears that flooding could curtail or even shut them down is pushing gasoline futures higher. Lippow says high waters may slow down river barges and tankers.
And that may result in a reduction of crude processing, although refinery shutdown is quite unlikely.
That's because levees appear strong enough to hold back the floodwaters. Analyst Bob Vandervolk says he's more worried about hurricane season.
And these hurricanes are anticipated to hit these refineries this year. It'll be an instant replay of Katrina and Rita.
Katrina shut down 10% of U.S. refinery capacity for several months. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Toyota said today that profits fell 77% in the fourth quarter on the heels of the natural disasters in Japan. Let's get the details now from Marketplace's David Gura. He's with us live. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, profits were the lowest in six quarters, I saw. How much of that can be attributed to the earthquake and tsunami?
It had a huge effect. I talked to Ashvin Chotai. He's managing director of Intelligence Automotive Asia. And he told me the carmaker had been doing a lot better, recovering from the economic slump back in 2008 and 2009. But their operations really took a hit. And Chotai said Toyota has had and continues to have problems getting the parts it needs to build its cars.
As we know, the global supply chain is quite interrelated, and what the tsunami has exposed is how dependent it is on very often one or two key suppliers, which in this case happened to be in the earthquake zone.
And another problem Chotai told me is that in the aftermath of these disasters, the Japanese government has decided to test its nuclear plants, and not just the ones affected by the earthquake and the tsunami. So there are periodic power shortages and power outages across the country, and that's having an effect on production too, Jeremy.
So big effects from the natural disasters and its aftermath. What about the problems, David, that were facing Toyota before the quake, such as the gas pedal issue and all those recalls?
You know, that's something that still looms large. Around 10 million cars were recalled. Ashvin Chotai told me that Toyota had made a lot of progress restoring its image, but these production problems couldn't have come at a worse time for the company. As a result of the disruptions, it's at risk of falling behind its main rivals around the world, General Motors and Volkswagen.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up this morning in Europe and Asia. And if the price of your coffee at Starbucks is higher, CEO Howard Schultz says blame the speculators. Schultz told a London audience that the current spike in the cost of commodities like coffee is not based on supply and demand. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow perked up 75 points to close at 12,760.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Retailers are starting to clear space on their shelves to make room for more tablet computers, which are expected to outsell laptops by next year. Tablets like the iPad are also being called the killer of the e-reader. It seems most consumers want everything in one place on one device. We're going to talk about that now with LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Well, it sounds like everybody wants everything on one device, and companies are more than happy to make that happen.
Of course. And, who wouldn't want it? Because there's a convenience factor involved here. And what this is going to mean is a number of consumer products are going to disappear, if not altogether, then gradually. And, I work for a newspaper. I know all about digital technology upending existing standards. So I think we should prepare for things to disappear, if not in the near future, then coming up soon.
Well, what kinds of things do you think will be going away?
Well, look at wristwatches, for example. Young people simply don't wear them. Why? Because people just, they carry around their smartphone. It gives them the time. So wristwatches will have some nostalgia value, but I don't think they're going to have a lot of staying power. CDs, DVDs, those are gimmies. They're out of here completely. Yeah. GPS devices? You're not going to need a separate one of those, not when you've got a smartphone around. And here's an interesting one, address books. You'll keep all of that stored on your whatever mobile service. I knew that that was the shape of things to come when I did that myself. And I'm the last guy to always do that kind of thing.
You got everything on your phone. Is there anything that consumers might want to keep separate?
Well, people talk about how books are facing their demise from e-readers. I just don't see that happening anytime soon. I think books will have some staying power. They're just too portable, too convenient. And here's another interesting one. Game consoles like PlayStations and Xboxes and Wiis, they take so much computing power to run the state-of-the-art games right now. I just don't know if you can pack that much power into a lightweight device like an iPad or an iPod and still have the same playability. So my suspicion is we're going to see game consoles around for a bit longer.
And David, are there any things consumers should be worried about when it comes to putting everything in one place?
Yeah, losing the darn thing. You lose your device and you've lost half your life now. So if there's any one thing I want to leave people with, it's back up your data. Back it up.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally to Okeechobee County, Florida, where a would-be bank robber forgot an important piece of equipment. He handed a note to the teller last Friday and demanded a bag full of cash. Only problem was, the teller didn't have a bag, and neither did the robber. So he left and was bagged by police a few minutes later. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad apps.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.